to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
That's good sound though, isn't it?
The problem is I just can't get it off. The Union Jack that I painted all over my face yesterday.
Yeah.
I actually painted a Union Jack all over my body.
You're supposed to call it the Union Flag, though, aren't you?
Really?
I think Union Jack's very racist.
Is it?
Yeah. But you look good with it, man.
Thanks a lot. I just shouldn't have done it with indelible pens.
Why did you do it all over your scrotum as well,
though? Just because it felt festive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it looks good. I mean, I think it looks nice.
Thanks very much. I hope everybody else is recovering from their
street
royal
party
wedding festivities. Unless, of course, you avoided the entire thing. Some people did that. Some people boycotted it.
John Sim was on the One Show the other day.
Yes.
And he was being rather grumpy about
was
the whole
he?
Thing. Yeah.
I was grumpy until about 3 or 4 minutes before.
Same here.
But then I started getting Fergie fever. I was expecting to get Kate and Will's fever, but actually, when you get Fergie fever, which I did in the 80s,
yeah.
it's dormant in the spine,
yeah,
and it can be revivified by any royal activity.
Sure.
So I suddenly got the sweats, and I got a fever for the ginger-haired royal, my favourite royal. I'm outraged she wasn't there.
Was she not?
God, I don't think so.
Just because
I'm
of
not
the...
sure she. I'm not sure. Don't think she was.
Because of the suitcases of money.
But I had a good time. I enjoyed it.
It was great, man. Did you go to any street parties?
Nope.
Did you not?
No.
Were you not even aware of a street party happening?
No.
Oh, man. They were happening everywhere. I walked around the corner. One weird thing that happened to me, I was walking out to get a can of fizzy pop from the corner store, right? And I was working away on jingles and stuff. But I thought, I'll have a fizzy pop break. So I went out, and drifting out from over someone's garden, I could hear someone playing Breathe in the Air by Pink Floyd. But it was on a guitar, and I'm staying like around Kensington area. And the voice was exactly that of, I thought it was, what's his name, Gilmore, or whoever sings that. And I thought, oh my goodness, Dave Gilmore's in someone's garden, and he's regaling people with Breathe in the Air. It, to me, it seemed like a completely possible scenario, but it was just a guy in a pub.
Oh.
Doing a very good version, though, in for a street party that was outside, all the pub doors open. It was a lovely scene.
But we should say good morning to our listeners. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We've got an action-packed show coming up. For the first time in months, we have Song Wars for you.
Yeah, that's right. We've composed original songs, myself and Joe, for Kate and Will's The Happy Couple. We're going to be unveiling those in around about an hour, I would say.
We're going to have Text the Nation. We're going to have Retro Text the Nation. We're going to have made-up jokes. We're going to have Traveller's Tales. This show's like a little lovely juicy satsuma full of segments.
Yeah, the show used to have just two features.
The skin comes off really easy as well.
And now it's got so many features, it's like a grotesque portrait by Picasso. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, with all sorts of fragmented features.
Yeah, but listen, we should activate the squadron, shouldn't we?
Right now?
Let's do it!
Jingle! Black Squadron!
Always catch the beginning of the show. Black Squadron don't want to miss a thing. That's not the way Black Squadron roll. Black Squadron! Went to bed at a reasonable hour. Gotta be sharp on Saturday morning. That's the secret of the Squadron's power.
Black Squadron!
Black Squadron, the elite listening force who listen to this programme live on air for the first hour. So if you're listening right now, live, that means you.
They're a squadron that love waffles, and they tune in for the most waffle-packed part of the show, the part of the show where we're still half asleep, getting ourselves together, not quite sure what's happening. And it's really a very stodgy waffle area, but the squadron don't mind because they thrive on waffles.
We are about to issue Black Squadron a single-word command. You have to get your photographic devices, take a photo of yourself executing that command, and then send it in to us here at BBC Six Music via text on 64046 or via email adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. It's a risky one this morning.
I don't even know which one you're going to go for.
That one.
That's
going to go for that one?
Do it.
Do we need to give any mitigating information?
No.
So you can interpret the single word command in any way you want.
Yeah.
But don't hurt each other.
No, exactly.
Do not hurt each other.
Or any animals or anything like
just,
that.
Just pretend. Yeah. Yeah. That's the most important thing. Are we ready?
Absolutely.
What record are we going to go into?
We're going to go into The Cure, appropriately enough.
Here comes your command, Black Squadron. It is. Surgery!
Why can't I be you? That's the cure. You don't want to be... Just be yourself, Robert Smith, with your bird's nest hair. That's the best way to go.
I was panicking there for a moment because there appeared to be zero Black Squadron responses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but there seemed to be four.
Okay, well, that's all right. Well, it's quite a complex one.
It is a complex one.
Surgery. I mean, you can interpret that any way you want.
What sort of thing were you imagining, Adam, that we might get?
I was hoping for someone covered, like people covered with white sheets and then...
A sort of ER type situation.
Yeah.
People with face masks on.
Bright lights.
Maybe somebody lying across the kitchen table.
A creative...
Pulling a string of sausages out of their tummy.
That's
kind
of
thing.
Giving birth to...
A melon.
A melon, that's right. Exactly.
Well, that's... We can but dream.
Hey, man, this is an exciting week coming up because I'm going to a exciting movie premiere.
Are you now?
Yeah.
My one?
Yeah, the Attack the Block movie premiere on Wednesday.
Yes.
And I want your advice, though, sartorially.
Yes.
What in heckins am I going to wear? What are you expecting? Is it a black tie thing? Is it...
No. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, did I tell you this story when I went to the royal premiere of The Lovely Bones?
You wore your trainers.
I wore my trainers and I got all sorts of grief from my lady friend about wearing my trainers. Mm. She thought I might be executed or sent to the chopping block.
Should have been.
Same thing, really. Yeah. But when I turned up there after all this anxiety, a lot of people were in black tie, but a lot of people were just rolling up dressed completely casually, leather jackets and jeans. And I wanted to execute them.
That's
to be
totally disrespectful,
frank.
Yeah. Because you had a suit and tie on, right?
I did.
What are you going to wear this Wednesday?
I'm going to wear a suit and tie, but I'm the director.
Yeah.
I have to look all proper.
But you, as the director, you could wear pretty much anything. You could wear
director.
A sort of insane Lady Gaga hat. Sorry, director.
Yes. Could I, for just to be charismatic and crazy?
Yeah, you could go topless with just nipple tassels.
Yeah, why be any different, though?
Why be any different? why would you want to be any different? You don't. So just go in a suit.
Exactly.
Why any different?
Exactly. Take your own advice, Count Buckley.
Exactly. Any different way. You're probably going to some kind
You're
of...
very
hat.
Inconsistent.
That's true, isn't it?
Your illogicity.
Yeah.
So I thought I might go for a suit, but I'm probably going to rock some trainers.
Right.
Yeah.
Suit and trainers.
And I don't know whether I'm going to do a tie or not.
What am I going to do? I can't wear suits.
Floopy,
I'm too short.
Floopy heck, I might not wear a tie.
Are you not?
I might throw caution to the wind.
A shirt
go
rakishly unbuttoned.
Imagine how the women will respond to... What's that bit called there?
The nape.
The nape. Imagine what the ladies will do when they see me completely naked.
Stop.
I'm absolutely stark naked.
Start drooling on the nape. I'd love some suggestions if anyone's listening.
Are you looking for something that'll be attention grabbing?
Well, the thing is that not at all. I just want to blend in, but I want to look cool. I'd love to look cool.
I wear so is we're
past
that.
It's not
going
to happen, is it?
No.
I wish
That's
someone
gone.
Could
That's
make
10 years
me look
ago.
Cool. All my clothes are just like a stupid 18-year-old's clothes. And then I cycle around everywhere, so I just have to wear practical, stupid 18-year-old clothes.
Wear a suit.
I look like Fat Sam in my suit.
You look good. Somebody out there is probably a clothes designer.
Yeah.
And clothes designers have amazing skills for sketching, don't they? So they should do... Someone might do one of those amazing sketches to design a premiere outfit for Buckley.
Can't someone just style me for the day? Black Squadron, right. But listen, can't someone just style me for the Attack the Block premiere?
You're looking for a stylist.
Yeah, and you'll get... because there's going to be a paparazzi mob frenzy.
There'll be at least three photographers
Dr. there. Buckles is going to be all over the front of every single newspaper the next day. Your design could be seen by everyone in the UK. That's the gauntlet I'm throwing down. Here's a free play for you right now, listeners. What are free plays, Joe?
Free plays are songs that are selected by you or I that are distinct from the playlist as issued to us by our... producer James.
They have broken free from the cage of the playlist.
They're songs that stray from the path.
That's true. This is from one of our favourite albums, Prefab Sprout, Steve McQueen, came out in 1985. Did you know that Steve McQueen, this is a true fact, not a made-up fact, was released in the US as Two Wheels Good?
I did, yeah.
Because the actor's estate had a problem with it.
I did know
there
that. Tell me something I don't know.
I'm amazing.
Really?
This is called Moving the River, which I thought I'd dedicate to Wilson Kate. Not the lyrical content, but I just thought it's a nice song for, like, when you're in the glow of love.
Do you think they're listening?
Yeah, definitely. Because they've got a good sense of humour. They've got GSOH. This is for you guys. That's the Gangsters by that's the Gangsters. That is Gangsters by the Specials. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We asked you, Black Squadron, to send in your photographs interpreting the command surgery.
Maybe we should have thought this through more carefully. I mean, we've got an amazing mix of photographs. We did, of course, caution you to be extremely careful when reconstructing, you know, such a potentially invasive pursuit. And one or two people have sent in actual photos.
Yeah.
Of surgery they've recently had done.
Some guy sent in a picture of his duffed up hand with like some big gnarly
scars. Please don't do that. We won't put them up on the blog if we get because those. They're too gut wrenching.
There's other places on the internet where you can find all that.
But there are some wonderfully light and innocent and fun ones. Jessica and Charlotte from Suffolk have dressed up as two extremely capable looking nurses.
Very sweet nurses.
Don't you think they could do probably some quite complicated surgery, mm-hmm. I'd imagine, but I wouldn't.
There's a sort of sweet real one. There's a lady bearing her Botox, which is always
That's
nice.
Sweet.
I think it's sweet. I just like to see ladies.
Does buttons. That go in your file under S for sweet?
Yes.
Not in mine.
She's got a sweet
goes
pair of...
under B for Botox. there's one
I have to say the reason she's bearing her Botox is because she appears to have been wounded in them and she's got some surgical plasters over some lesions. I'm not making it sound sweet, am I?
Claire and Andrew McCluskey from Edinburgh, Black Squadron unit in Edinburgh.
Andrew McCluskey from OMD.
Very possibly. It's a gentleman, it looks like, with his young daughter mm-hmm. operating there, but quite effectively done, don't you think?
Yes, very simple. Just, you know, some white sheets over the gentleman. They've put some ketchup on there and she's stabbing him with a knife and fork.
And she's not actually doing that,
no,
right?
She's not. We don't encourage
in an extremely safe manner. Roseanne in Portsmouth appears to be doing heart surgery on her boyfriend, maybe, or partner.
Mm.
Could be brother, we don't know, or dad.
Yeah, look, what's she got? She got a needle and thread there.
She's drawn a dotted line around the heart area, and she's put some ketchup on that dotted line, and it's as if she's sort of stitching the heart. I don't know what kind of surgery that is.
That would be a good album cover, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, often we get these Black Squadron photo commands. We get some great photos that would just be good as album covers, I think.
Yes. And finally, here is one from Mark and Zoe. And just all it says is, wowzers, that hurt. And it looks like a picture of Mark, and he's got a corkscrew.
Yeah, man.
It looks more like the cover of a 80s slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Corkscrew to Me or something it would be called.
Yeah.
He's having... This is like dental surgery, isn't it?
Crazy corkscrew,
and
man.
And he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Got a very good pain face.
It's emergency surgery. There's something that there's no doc nearby, so someone's just got a bottle opener out of their bag and they're going in with a corkscrew and it has to be done. Emergency, what?
No, nothing. I've just seen another one. But no, I'll show you in a second. Let's go to a record.
Here's Licky Lee. This is Sadness is a Blessing. Flippin' heck, Tucker. Sadness is her boyfriend. Where's she going out with Sadness? He's an idiot. That's Licky Lee, and this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's time to stand the squadron down.
A Black Squadron!
Stand down, your work is done. You've earned yourself a nice warm bath and maybe a nice little bun.
Black Squadron!
Okay, now listen, put your utensils down, Black Squadron.
I don't know. I think I'm not sure many of these Black Squadron entries are going to make it to the blog.
Some of them, I'm afraid, are not going to make it past the Big British Castle strict guidelines. but thank you very much for all your surgery picks, Squadron. And we'll be back with another command next week. Right now, it is 10:30 and time for the news.
Ones and ones and ones. Ones and ones and ones.
Is that the best song ever made?
Very possibly.
I think it might be.
Very possibly.
I think it is the best song ever.
It would be a very difficult song to reproduce, wouldn't it? To try and restructure.
You'd have to be a kind of a madman or a musical genius.
Like who?
Like Sam. Sam sent us this jingle for Retro Text the Nation that he'd done. He says, I don't quite know why I decided to spend most of an afternoon doing this. My girlfriend said I'll never get that time back, and I probably should have spent it planning...
She's a fool!
She's an idiot!
She's an idiot.
Planning
Dump
our
her.
Wedding.
Dump her.
Well, they're getting married in less than a month, so that's fool. Not necessarily
no,
on the cards.
That's very exciting. Well done.
She doesn't even listen to the podcast, he says. So
what?
I win! Yes! And you do win, Sam, because we're going to play your jingle right now in the style of David Bowie. Here we go.
That's excellent, isn't it?
Good use of time, Sam. He's even got the mumbling in there.
Amazingly good. Do you think that actually might be Bowie himself under a pseudonym?
I think it's so likely.
I think it definitely is.
That's a good impression, man. Hey, thank
amazing.
You so much for that, Sam. Yeah, Retro Text the Nation. We are collecting a few of the messages that have come in over the week about last week's Text the Nation subject, which was modern technology misery, bits of modern phenomena that have just made
it's
life
a little
broad,
bit broad, wasn't it? I realised when we got our suggestions in, I realised that actually there were sort of 30 different Text the Nation subjects in there.
Yeah, it's often the way.
You could do a whole one on automatic checkouts, for instance, couldn't you?
Right.
Or on automated telephone answering. You could do a whole one.
Hey, man, we probably will.
Hey!
At some stage. Here is one right now from Stu in London. He's a mailman. He says, hi, Adam and Joe. Have you noticed that there's a pause between pressing the button on a TV or DVD player remote control and the actual response on the screen? This pause seems to be getting longer and longer with each new generation of equipment. Blu-ray players
yes.
take ages
yes, yes,
to
yes,
respond.
Yes, yes, yes.
Back in the day, it seemed like just a quirk of technology, but now I feel they're being willfully disobedient and that this is the first sign of machines becoming sentient and forming an uprising. Welcome your views on the matter. Totally agree.
Completely agree. The time it takes for a Blu-ray machine to turn on.
What is it flipping doing?
It's absurd.
It's like it's
the time it takes to load.
Psyching himself up.
Oh,
you want to watch your film, do you? All right, I'll be.
And it displays a little message. Hello, just wait a minute, please.
Wait a minute. The fridge doesn't say that to me when I want to get something fridgy out of it.
And don't get me started on how long the warnings take. You know, the unskippable warnings. Unskippable trailers on a Disney movie.
We've talked about that before, but it's a phenomenon that's just getting even more maddening and ludicrous. It just goes
on. In fact, we've been discussing that for the animated menus on our DVD. Because I want to do animated menus, but sometimes they take ages, don't they? And once you're over the animation, every time you put the DVD in thenceforth,
right.
It's incredibly tedious.
Yeah, exactly. We solved all those problems on the Adam and Joe
Worst
DVD.
Offender, The Abyss. Special
the Abyss.
Edition.
Really? Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. You have to navigate around that room,
the water
don't
tentacle,
you?
Yeah, it takes forever.
It's absolutely ludicrous. So I agree with you. Thank you very much, Stu in London. Blu-ray players.
Here is one from Naomi in Bath. She says, the smartphone thing really hit a nerve. I'm a mature student, so I have a few friends who are about 10 years younger than me. I refuse to watch any movie I care about with them because... when I've taken DVDs round to some of their houses, they can't watch for more than 10 minutes without texting on their BlackBerries. I've tried taking all their phones and hiding them down the side of the sofa, but if they bleep, my friends can't relax until they've checked them. Add to this the overall slower pace of films made before the 2000s, and their attention spans just can't cope. It drives me crazy!
It's true.
We're now reduced to watching things like The Karate Kid together, as I don't get stressed if I miss... parts of a film like that.
What, the remake or the original, I wonder?
Who knows? They're both very good.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I think they are both very
Sorry.
Good.
Sorry.
They both are very good.
The second one is good, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that because you know someone
It's because it made about $500 million
right,
worldwide.
Right, right.
Very successful. And if it's successful, in my book, that means it's good.
It means it's very, very good. What are they texting, though, when they're watching the movie? Are they just texting about other
they're
stuff?
They're texting, I'm watching movie.
Yeah. Gotta love that bit in Karate Kid.
That I'm not watching because I'm texting you.
Now, we're talking about cinema or automated phenomena as well, like phone robot voices last week. And here's a message from someone who's been on one of those cinema lines when you go and you phone up for the cinema times. And
yes.
You get the robot guy. I mean, obviously, you could go online,
But sometimes maybe that's not an option. You don't have broadband or whatever. So here's someone who phoned up. Dear Buckles and Cornballs, I was particularly moved to email in and agree with the frustration that Joe displayed at voice recognition telephone calls. I recorded me on a call to a well-known cinema chain trying to get the film times out of them. I was so enraged by the end of the call, I needed a long bath and a sit-down in a quiet room listening to some cold
and a nice warm bun.
And a nice warm bottom. Later, I realised that I should have just used the internet for that type of thing. Keep up the good work. Yours faithfully, Jake from South London. So here's Jake on the phone. I'm just going to let this play because it amused me and it more or less sums up everything that's wrong with modern life, I think.
Please say the name of the film you'd like to see or say what's on or more options.
What's on?
There are 26 films currently showing. You can interrupt me at any time by saying yes or no. And now, here are the films. Rio, 3D. Certificate U. Would you like this film?
No.
Rio, Certificate U. Would you like this film?
No.
Fast and Furious 5.
Certificate 12A.
Yes.
Would you like this film?
Yes.
No.
What?
To speed things up, just interrupt me with yes or no. Hop, Certificate U. Would you like this film?
No.
Did you mean the film Hop?
No.
Okay. The current film is Hop, Certificate U.
Oh, God.
The Easter Bunny gets funny in this brilliant comedy that mixes Anna... Did you say the film Toe?
No.
Okay. Please choose from the following films. Rio, 3D.
Oh my God, it's come back to the beginning.
3D family animation from the makers of Ice Age.
No.
For showing times,
no.
Press 2. For the next film, press 3. To book tickets, press 0. For a brief summary of the plot, press 5. If you have any other inquiries, press star.
There you go. I mean,
wow.
Thanks so much, Jake, for that.
Does that carry on there? How long does it go on for?
Rio. 3D.
He's back to Rio.
That's the most...
U, a 3D family animation from the makers of Ice Age.
It's 10 minutes.
For showing times, press 2. For the next film, press 3. To book tickets, press 0. For a brief summary of the plot, press 5.
I mean, they could use that in Guantanamo Bay, couldn't they?
Yeah.
That'd be an amazing torture technique. It sounds very counterintuitive, the way they've set that up.
I know, and...
I mean, what about just saying the name of the film that you want to see?
Yeah.
Instead of working through all Twitter, no.
Because presumably the software's not sufficiently sophisticated to recognise anything other than yes or no.
Can I interrupt you at any point simply by saying no?
Yes, you can.
While you're talking, can I just say yes or no?
Yeah, go on.
And then stop you.
Yeah. Are we done with Textination?
No.
Have you got
yes.
more? Would you like to read any?
No. No, I don't. I don't have any more. That's very good. Thank you very much for everybody sending in.
The Easter Bunny goes crazy in this enjoyable family comedy with Russell Brand. Would you definitely like to see it?
No.
No.
Are you sure? What about Arthur?
Here's the Kinks. Oops. That's the Kinkles with You Really Got Me. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Very nice to be with you this lovely sunny Saturday afternoon, listeners. Hope it's sunny where you are. If it's not, I'm very, very sorry. We can't be held responsible.
Okay. I think it's less sunny in the west of England.
Mm-hmm.
Devon and Somerset looking a little bit cloudy.
Really?
But the east of England is all white.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's the only bit I care about, East Anglia.
Yes. Now, here's a free play coming up from me. Are we ready for this? Are we just going to go straight into this free play?
Let's just roll right into
this. Just roll.
Thing.
This is by Jay Diller. Do you know who Jay Diller is?
Who heck is he?
Do you know anything about Jay Diller?
No, I thought you were going to say just, do you know anything?
I mean, I don't know
I was
know
thinking
much.
Like, what do I know?
No.
I don't know anything.
No.
No.
Oh. No, I'm trying to stop you. No.
Hop.
Hop.
I'd like to see Hop.
It's confusing. Jay Diller is a sort of hip-hop man type producer man.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Is he?
But that's made him an extraordinary legend.
When did he die?
A while ago.
Okay.
19 a while ago. Yeah. And this is called Love. It's from his album The Shining. Enjoy! It's the Chemical Brothers with Swoon. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Happy Saturday morning, everybody who is listening.
Yeah, happy, nice. I like it. Hope you're feeling all right after yesterday's fun and festivities. We are going to be playing you the results of our Song Wars battle this week. We have written songs for
the results of our Song Wars endeavours.
endeavours.
The results of the battle will be next week when we announce the results of the battle.
That's true.
No. I've shut you down.
You have to stop doing that.
Sorry.
Now. We are going to be playing you our Song Wars songs just after 11 o'clock, so stick with us here on the programme. But now, Joe, I want to ask you what your policy is with envelopes. What do you do with them once you get an envelope?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because you can't recycle them, I believe.
Right.
Because they're gluey.
I mean, when did you find that out? I only just found that out.
I've known that for years.
Have you known it for years?
Yeah,
I only just found out because the lady that sometimes comes around to clean our house said, what are you doing recycling that? You can't recycle that because it's all gummy. And I sort of said, yeah, I think you can. It's paper. It's paper. Come on, you just chuck it in there. No, you can't do it. So I checked it out and she was absolutely right. I mean, I had been tearing out the plastic windows.
Yeah, but I think it's still gummy.
Right.
I tell you what I do, if it doesn't have a window and it's got my address printed on it.
Right.
I tear out the address and I rip the address up into tiny bits.
And eat it.
And put it in the kitchen bin.
Right.
So that, what's his name, the man that goes through celebrity bins?
Johnny Bin.
Johnny Bin Man.
Johnny Bin Plops.
Can't get my address.
Yeah.
And then I will tear off the gummy bits and I'll put the papery bits in the recycling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. Here's some guidelines.
If it's a Jiffy, I save it.
Sure.
In my Jiffy bag store.
Or wear it like a hat.
Or wear it like a hat.
Yeah.
Or wear them like slippers.
Or pop some used tissue in it and use it as a pillow.
Yes.
It's a lovely pillow, a travel pillow.
Or,
Well, these are good tips, you know, and there were some tips that I saw on a blog. Well, it's a website, I suppose. It's
Tips.com.
The Go Green blog,
This
is. And it calls itself Tips for Teachers and Office Workers. It's actually set up by an office supplies company.
Great.
And it seems to be like a sincere thing with sincere tips and stuff, but some of them are a little
Why did
flip.
You go on here?
Because I wanted to check out what the procedure was. I was searching for...
You were anxious that you might be doing other things wrong.
Yeah, I was searching for, are envelopes recyclable?
Right.
And this is the thing I stumbled across. It says, how to recycle your envelopes. Remove the see-through plastic address window and the glue-covered seal. Mm. Use them to build a statue of yourself in the office or model cars using the see-through plastic for windows and the glued seals for fixings and structure. Recycle the rest in the paper recycling.
Have you done that then? Have you made some cars?
Yeah, I've spent all week doing it.
It's very important.
I mean, does everyone have to do this?
Yes.
I didn't
realise.
It's
more important than the recycling aspect.
And what about building a statue of yourself in the office?
That's important as well.
I mean, this is what was on the website.
And so then once you've finished, and the car's life size,
mm-hmm.
once you've finished the car, you drive it into
I've
the statue.
I've been driving it around,
You drive it at speed into the statue.
I had to get it MOT'd.
And then you're finished.
Yeah, and it failed the MOT.
Did it?
Yeah, so I've had to start building a new one. And then, these are real, incidentally, on the website. It says, other suggestions for your envelopes. Shopping lists. You may be able to use the sticky part to stick them to your fridge.
Yes.
Good idea. Another suggestion. Reuse the ones with plastic windows if you carefully open them. Okay? Put them under a short leg of a wonky table.
Short leg of a wonky table.
Why don't you do that with your envelopes? Use them for storage / categorization of small things like newspaper clippings.
What?
What?
What are they saying?
And here's the final one.
Sorry, use what for categorization?
The old envelopes.
Sort of like index cards.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Use them for storage / categorization of small things. And finally, start a flipbook cartoon using one envelope a day. I hate you and I'm going to find you and kill you for suggesting that.
And run them over in your new car.
I'm going to. I mean, maybe it was meant as a humorous suggestion on the Go
if
Green
If you did
blog.
That website and you're walking down the street and you see a very huge, shonky paper car
made
with
of envelopes.
A weird patchwork window that you can't really see through in this bearded lunatic
driving and next to him in the passenger seat a statue.
Then don't worry because it'll run harmlessly over you because it's made entirely of old envelopes.
Yeah. Although the plastic window may slice your face off.
Ooh.
I've gone too far again, haven't I?
Nearly Song Wars time.
Here's Nirvana with Smells Like Teen Spirit.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for?
which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
That's quite a contrast there between...
It's time for song.
Do you remember the time when loads of little kids used to go around wearing Nirvana t-shirts? Does that still happen anymore? The vast majority of Nirvana t-shirts would be on like 5 to 10 year olds.
When Kurt Cobain was alive, you mean?
No, after he died.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in the 90s and noughties.
Yes.
You don't see it so often anymore, but it always used to be weird because he was such a sort of adult, dark and slightly nihilistic figure.
Slightly.
In some ways. Yeah. To see little kiddies going around in Nirvana t-shirts.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Just making a little point there.
That's a brilliant point, Joe.
No. I've shut myself down. So it's Song Wars time. We haven't done this for a while, but now we have done it. And the theme was the royal wedding.
That's right.
It's a good imaginative theme. And so we've both done royal wedding songs. I did mine I was finishing it as the wedding happened yesterday. So they're not done in the knowledge of what happened yesterday, right?
No.
And indeed, I was feeling a tiny bit cynical about the whole endeavour until I actually witnessed it. And it's very hard to be cynical about it.
They're a sweet couple.
They're a sweet couple. And even if they, you know, and you, when you think about it, you think even if they'd wanted to have a private wedding, they wouldn't have been allowed to.
Yes.
It was foisted upon them.
I mean, as royals go, they are pretty low on the offensiveness radar.
I agree.
I would say. And they've never personally hurt me. I know Will's tried to rugby tackle me.
Has he?
Once. Yes. And I just noogied him and we were fine after
noogied.
That. Yeah, I did a little noogie.
Did you?
Yeah, across the head there.
Noogle.
But we go way back.
You did a special, very royal put a couple more syllables in there.
I would like, so we're going to flip a coin, right?
But listen, new listeners, if you're a new listener and you haven't heard Song Wars before, these songs are genuinely entirely made by Adam and I individually at home.
It'll be hard to believe when you hear
them. Using our computers. And we'd only decided the subject last Saturday. Both had very, very busy weeks. Okay, very busy weeks. So we've just done these in the evening. All right?
Yeah.
So lower your expectations all the way beneath floor level to a sub-Cretaceous.
You know, it's not like Cretaceous.
Cretaceous.
It's not like on a kind of slick comedy program. Maybe someone will come on and do a topical song.
No.
And it'll be all good.
This is organic. You know, it's like a cake you buy at a jumble sale.
It's just like a couple of weirdos and they've just done a weird thing on their computer.
But the key is you get to listen to both and you get to vote for your favourite. We'll tell you how once you've heard both songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a coin. We're going to flip the coin to see who plays their song first.
I'll go for heads because it's a royal wedding and it'll be the head of the queen.
Thank you.
If it's heads, I'll go first. Oh, it's out of control.
I can't.
It's having to do it again. It went all over the shop.
And it is heads.
It's heads. I'm going to go first. Okay, my song is called A Right Royal Rave Up.
Okay.
Yeah, and so what you've got to imagine, listeners, is the following scenario.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So it's about 3 a.m. at Buckingham Palace last night. As we know, they had 6 staterooms, didn't they, for the reception and the party. In the central stateroom are all the biggest celebrities and the royal family themselves. And at about 3 a.m, when they know all the journalists have gone, it's getting quite sweaty. Everyone's in their black tie with bottles of champagne. They've taken their ties off kind of thing. They're loosening it up. So it's quite sexy. It's a bit like a Jay-Z video.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's, you know, dancing
the
and freaking out.
Are out.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And once they know no one's looking, they play the following track. And Kate and Will's perform it. Okay? And this is what happens when the royals rave. Here we go.
Yo, Katie.
Yo, Wills.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I've got chills.
Well, let's go.
If you've got blue blood, get your ass on the floor. Shake your royal booty, then shake it some more. There's 10 grenadier guards guarding the door. Let's start the party up in here just like we were poor.
Yo, Willie Windsor. I like the way you get down. I'd like to see you later wearing only your crown. You're so good looking, almost as fit as Ben Fogles. Wind your royal body to the Buckingham Bogle.
If you're called Prince Charles, get your bum on the floor. Pass the royal duchy, let us all have a draw.
If you're Camilla, dance like a freak on the tables. Get off with Mr. Bean and then wake up in the stables.
If you're the queen then, let's see you grinding your hip. Throw your hands in the air like you're launching a ship.
Yo, Duke of Edinburgh, it's time to rip up the floor. Let's see you party like it's still the Second World War.
Cameras are flashing, it's the return of the king. Watch me rule Britannia like it's no big thing.
I'll be your princess, I'm going to show them who rules. I'll be the best at being in magazines and opening schools.
We're gonna rock Buck Palace till the break of dawn, then have a civilized breakfast on the croquet lawn.
You drive me crazy when you wiggle your booty. You and I should do a constitutional duty.
Hold up your tea towels and your commemorative plates. Check out the bill of 20 mil we're costing the state. Cause we've got titles and we've got castles and treasure. And tonight we're going to party at Her Majesty's pleasure.
It's very, very political.
Is it? That's right. I just think I'll just call it the Royal Rave. That's the Royal Rave.
What's their constitutional duty?
Intercourse. Social conversational intercourse.
Sure. Dr. Buck's Palace. That's a little trick I missed there. Should have called mine Dr. Buckle's Palace. Yes. And a nice little Return of the King line in there as well.
Thanks a lot. I feel I should have gone... you know, I guess my voice is fairly posh as it is. I feel I should have gone a bit posher.
Right.
I kept it pretty much the same as...
So posh that yeah. You come barely.
I didn't want to make it too grotesque a caricature.
Fairly big.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not too grotesque themselves. She's got a very cut-glass voice.
Yeah, she has. She's sexy.
Yeah. But Wills himself, he's pretty much an everyman. Yeah. Pretty much every normal, totally normal guy.
Totally, absolutely, totally, completely normal.
I saw the film. Have you seen the American TV
movie? I saw some of it on Channel 5, yeah.
I tried to watch that.
It's very basic.
It's pretty basic.
It's like they haven't written a script. They've just cut, copy-pasted from Wikipedia.
Exactly. Or magazine, you know, articles in Hello.
Yeah.
And just reconstructed them. So what I did was I felt that I probably had to go for something from the Queen's point of view.
Mm, well, you've got a sort of secret weapon in this song, Wars.
I suppose.
Mm.
In that I have personal ties with Her Maj.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to imagine that it is the first dance of the party.
Mm.
And the Queen steps up to the mic. She's written this specially to welcome Katie to the family and to... give her a little bit of advice, and this mm-hmm. is what happens.
And now, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, performing her own special musical tribute of a happy couple, Her Royal Maj Highness, the Queen.
Once upon a time in a lonely university lived a lonely couple called a Willie and Kate. They fell in love when Katie showed her pants at a party, and then they went on telly to appear on Blinded Data. If you were a princess, what kind were you, boy? I'll be a really lonely one, I promise you, Your Majesty. I won't fix introductions for suitcases of money or do a sketch on Red Nose Day, even if it's really funny. Thanks a lot, Chuck, that sounds good to me. Graham, slide the curtain back, I think we'll go for Katie.
Willie and Katie, Katie and Willie.
You're going to have a lot of lonely life, just don't be silly.
Kate and Prince of Willies, Will and Princess Kate.
Just follow my instructions, please, I am the head of state.
Don't get a stupid butler who rifles through your pants.
He'll end up in the jungle with Declan and the ants.
Stay clear of Piers Morgan and other sleazy men.
Don't wanna see Andy Morton or Martin Bashir again.
Sometimes
the life of a princess
can be
a royal pain in the parts. Oh, lovely Katie. Meeting boring people, asking what they do, pretending that you're interested, smiling for the cameras too. When all you want to do is say you're all boring farts.
Willie and Katie, Katie and Willie.
Welcome lonely Katie to a happy family.
Kate and Prince of Willies, Will and Princess Kate.
A Laura, Laura, lonely couple out of blind data.
Katie, 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 Willie, Willie, Wills.
Don't dress up as Nazis, don't get hooked on pills.
Katie's on a plate and Willie's on a cup.
There's a lot of people watching you, so please don't screw this up.
There you go.
I mean, your one's quite political too.
Is it?
Quite provocative about the pills and everything there.
Just advice, things for them to avoid.
But your strength there was the Prince of Willies. By calling him repeatedly the Prince of Willies, I think people are going to like that.
So there you go. Those are our Song War songs. I'd like to dedicate mine to Pete Thomas and Claire Emmett, who are getting married today.
Ah.
We don't do shout-outs and dedications very often, but that one caught my eye, and I thought, why not?
So this is what you've got to do, listeners. You can hear both songs again. I'm going to rephrase that. You can hear both songs again on our blog, bbc.co.uk/blogs/... Adam and Joe, or you can hear them on the podcast, which will be available from 6 p.m. today, and then you can vote for your favourite track via the blog or via our usual email address, which is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. So you can vote for mine, which was Royal Rave Up, or what was yours called, Adam?
Mine's just called Royal Wedding Song. I like to keep things functional.
There we go. And remember, it's very, very important that everybody votes, and it's very important that you listen very carefully to both songs.
Yeah,
think about them, discuss them mm-hmm. with your family sure. and friends, analyze and make an informed decision.
You've got until 11 p.m. on Friday, the 6th of May, to cast your vote and be part of this constitutional monarchy song wars. The full terms and conditions can be found on our website. The winning song will be announced on next week's show, Saturday, the 7th of May. That's something to look forward to then, isn't it? Don't forget, just emails, okay, for the voting for this. And is it useful for them to, like, put who they're voting for as the header? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be useful. Speed things up a little bit. Thanks very much. And that's Song Wars. Right now, it's Jay-Z time. Here we go.
Would you like to explain?
I have absolutely no idea what that means. not English, but I absolutely adore it.
It's absolutely wonderful.
It shakes my booty uncontrollably when I hear it. Causing quite difficulties in the street. I was walking along, his booty was completely out of control. Right, left, right, and centre, and all the pavement. It was absolutely impossible to get my shopping done.
I was grooving so much that I vomited all over myself.
The doctor thought I had an early onset Alzheimer's, but actually it was just a Jay-Z making my booty shake.
It was incredible. And what does it stand
very
for?
Very exciting. It's hover. Very exciting. Very terribly optimistic for future young people. There's music like that.
What does hover stand for?
A positive outlook.
Izzo?
It's just like a hover mower or a hovercraft.
It's a hover mower. It's about a mower.
It's probably Eddie Izzard. He's gone to America. He's made friends with rappers. So it's probably some consequence of Eddie Izzard making friends with Jay-Z. I'd imagine. I'm merely speculating. I have no idea. I'll ask my nephew.
Noel Gallagher.
I'm seeing my nephew this weekend.
Noel Gallagher.
I'm giving him 50 pence.
I said Noel Gallagher.
Sorry?
Noel Gallagher.
I do. Yes. What?
Well, I just said his name.
There's a chap at the council called Oliver.
It's not the same.
Probably not the same, man. No.
Yeah, okay, it's time for another free play right now, listeners. And, mate, this is an Australian man.
Right.
And now I could really get into hot water doing the accent for this guy. Because he's like an Australian icon.
Oh, really?
He's part of a very fundamentally important series of bands. He's a long-time collaborator of Nick Cave.
Right. Is he one of Men at Work?
No, he's not, mate.
Well, but you said he's an important...
I know. And they are important, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I tell you, it's Mental as Anything.
He's not.
It's the chap from Mental as Anything.
It's not the bloke from Mental as Anything.
Well, who are you talking about then?
I'm talking about Mick Harvey.
Who?
From The Bad Seeds and The Birthday Party.
Oh right, mate.
And he tried to get into Mental as Anything, but he wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed. So instead he had to do his own thing. And this is from one of his solo albums from 2007 called, I think it's called The Two of Diamonds. This is a track, it's a cover, this track, by...
What is this track?
I just ran out of steam there halfway through.
I'm getting confused.
Sentence.
Is this a cover of a track or?
So this track is a cover of a Manu Chao song,
right?
It's called "Out of Time, Man," and it sounds for all the world like "The Passenger" by Iggy Pop. But I enjoyed this when I heard it the other day on the TV show Breaking Bad. Don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, I haven't. But
recommend
I hear it's
it.
Very good.
A little bit depressing, but good. And this is "Out of Time, Man" by Mick Harvey. Very good. That's Pete and the Pirates. First single from their second album, 1,000 Pictures, out in May. Heavily indebted to Young Knives, I hope they won't mind me saying, though. And that's a good thing, as far as I'm concerned. This is Adam and Joe here on bbc.6music.co.uk. I just put the word dot in there and then got sent off in a erroneous Oh, for goodness sake, it's 11:30 and time for the news.
That's Sex Laws by Beck. Is that the kind of sort of mood when Beck is making love?
No, it's
that sort of banjo plucking hoedown kind of mood.
No, it's when he's laying down the law about how the lovemaking's going to go.
Okay.
That's when he
does
explains,
it in a jolly way.
Yeah, that's where, how he explains the rules, jumps around, makes it fun rather than intimidating.
Like I do. Right, listen!
Tonight, I want you to dress up. Okay, so I think it's time for Text the Nation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we have got a jingle coming your way, courtesy of a band called The Scholars. And they sent us in this. Enjoy.
Wow, very raw, very vital, very now.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been recorded live at one of the Scholars' gigs at the Rat Keller.
Who gives a thimble?
Yeah, who gives an absolute thimble box?
Not me.
No, I don't.
Certainly not. You must be thinking of somebody else. I don't care at all about anything.
No, none of the Scholars do.
I don't care about anything at all.
No, do you not? No. Do you care about, like, when your milk goes off? Do you still just have your milk on your cornflakes? Yeah, no, or do you care?
No, I don't.
I don't like it. I do personally care. I do care about that. That was Chris Aylett or Aylett who Aylett A-Y-L-E-T Aylett. Mm-hmm. He sent that in. Thanks a lot, Chris. Maybe the Scholars are playing in a little creepy pub near you tonight, and they might play that song. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Very exciting. I love small creepy pups that smell.
They're my favourite kind.
Listen, Text the Nation is the segment of the show where we give you a subject and you text us about it.
Yeah.
This week's subject is fiddles. Okay. Mm. Now, we're not talking about object fiddles. We're talking about body fiddles.
Body fiddles.
So this is stuff you do when you're doing something else and you just want to occupy your body. Like, for instance, when I'm writing... Sometimes with a friend, I will, without knowing it, start to wiggle. Now, you're doing some now, in fact.
A little bit.
I start to wiggle my knee. This is a very very popular one. You keep your toes on the ground, lift the heel, and then you just undulate the knee rapidly.
He's a leg joggler.
And then without knowing it, you can start to undulate the entire room, maybe the table that you're working at. And the person you're working with can think it's some kind of tremor if you're working in Los Angeles.
If you've got two leg jogglers working together in the same room and they become and they
dangerous.
Start to synchronize.
Very dangerous.
Then you can get a real tremor happening.
Very dangerous. But it often happens, you know, you don't know you're doing it and it creeps up on you. Okay, here's another one. Number two. That's a very basic one. Number two, what I like to do is I like to get my bottom lip between my thumb and forefinger at the corners of the bottom lip, push together to create a loop in the bottom lip. Push the loop back and bite down with the top teeth.
Lip loop. So you look like a kind of a froggy.
It's like you're making an M with your bottom lip and then you're pushing it in, biting it.
Rock a posh rabbit.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's very satisfying.
Do you have any carrots?
In fact, I like to do that to my lady partner friend. I like to do that.
What are you doing? Are you biting her at her?
No,
lip?
I just get hold of her lip and I
stuff
fold
it in her top.
I tuck it in there.
Tuck it in there.
Yeah.
That's a nice little picture you painted there.
Thanks a lot. What do you like to do with your... What's your fiddle routine?
Well, I've got a beard.
Oh, there's a whole new world of facial fiddles.
Yeah, so I you know, I'll sort of play around with a little bit just below the lip.
Really? Do you know a thing? Here's a thing. Like, sometimes people have hair fiddles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there'll be a particular little tuft of hair that they'll like to twizzle. And when I was a teenager, I thought that I could maybe actually adjust the shape, the style of my hair or the shape of my face. I thought if I fiddle enough with a bit of my face, like I can make my chin squarer and more prominent.
Sure.
If I just do that all my life.
Well, I mean, do you know in what I mean? Theory, that works, doesn't it?
Does it?
I think so. You can more or less change the shape of your body.
You can mould your face like very slow-motion plastic surgery.
Surely.
Over years and years.
I mean, that's what those hideous shoes in Japan used to do, isn't it? To geisha ladies, right. Sometimes. Am I getting my facts confused here? But you know the ones I mean, the very constricted
sure,
ones.
Sure, or a tribes person with the multiple yeah. necklaces that extend the neck.
So you can do those kind of things. You could wear... like a mask of Brad Pitt.
This subject's amazing.
This is amazing.
It's world-changing.
And, I mean, aren't they even marketed? Am I just imagining this? Like celebrity masks that you wear at night to mould your face into the shape of someone.
into the shape of a celebrity's face.
I mean, if these don't exist, I could make a lot of money.
That's a good idea because you have a plastic... Let's think of the biggest star in the world, right? Madonna.
Uh-huh.
She's on.
Is she still the biggest star?
I'm joking. Sorry. Madonna, she's the biggest star in the world.
Right.
What if you had a plastic mask and it was for kids mm-hmm. and just every night you put that mask... you'd have to have different sizes as the kid grows older.
Yes.
But yeah, you could shape your child's face. You'd
literally mould your child.
Like Madonna. And imagine what an easy life they'd have.
Yeah.
Looking just like Madonna, as a Madonna lookalike.
That would be tough, though, for Madonna as well, because you'd have to...
You do it with the guy from the Aphex Twin?
Mm-hmm.
Then the world would be like a Chris Cunningham Aphex Twin video.
Yes, exactly.
What's he called, that chap? Aphex Twin Man?
He is called...
Roddy Piper.
Tommy Knockers, I think. He's another Tommy Knocker. Richard James, he's called.
Yeah. Anyway, send us your fiddles, right?
Yes.
We want to know your fiddles. Please describe them quite accurately. They don't have to be spectacular. They can be small.
How about chewing your cheek there, chewy cheeks, as Julian Barrett might say?
Well, we have done body food in the past, mm-hmm. bits of your body that you eat. So we want to try and steer away from that. We're talking about...
We've done bits of body that you eat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We did weird food fiddles.
No, we have, because I remember talking about cuticles, cuticles.
Yeah.
So this must be fiddles, taps, kind of slightly, mildly obsessive, compulsive mm-hmm. little twitches.
Yeah.
Twinges or fiddles, fun, rapid action things
fun
to do.
Fun things, not self-harm.
No. No, we've already got a bit
Try
too close
stay
to
away
with
from
our
that.
Black Squadron command this morning.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
The text number is 64046. You can email as well, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
I'm just tapping my papers like a newsreader.
I don't like it.
Okay.
Makes me angry.
All right, then. Here's something to cheer you up. Death cab for cutie. You're a tourist!
That's a shame.
That's a little shame, isn't it? That's very nice, though, isn't it? Death Cab for Cutie with You Are a Tourist. Sorry, listeners, but I'm a little bit smelly this morning.
Don't think they'll notice.
Honestly. I put it on clean this morning, and it's just... I think I've been washing at a very low temperature to save the planet.
You're quite a hirsute man. Hirsute?
Hirsute is good. Like astute and hirsute.
Yeah. You're quite a hirsute man.
Yes, I am hirsute.
But it means odours get trapped in your fur. This is the beginning of an advert. Do odours get trapped in your fur?
Are you a small monkey man?
Furry stink out.
I've run out of furry stink out.
The scented comb that you can use.
Removes small animals too.
To groom your body hair. Gets rid of nits, stenches, and knots. Nits, knots, and stinks.
Stenches, nits, knots, and lunches. I really need it because... I'm not happy with my wash.
I'm fine. I'm only 3 or 4 feet away from you and I can't smell nothing.
Wear this shirt for the rest of the flipping day, though, Jim.
You're so astute.
Yeah, yeah.
So listen, if you listen to the podcast of this show, you might have heard the Lizard in the Blizzard song.
Right.
Which Dr. Buckles composed as a tribute to the G6 song.
Fly Like a G6.
Yeah.
Can never remember who that's
by.
Have
we played it in the show itself or only,
I don't think we have.
Only in the podcast? It's podcast listeners only.
Podcast.
So if you don't listen to the podcast, here is a sample of this ongoing kind of musical soap opera.
It's like a saga now.
It started off as a riff on the G6 song, but now it's taken on a life of its rhyming own. Mm. Here's a reminder.
Popping jingles in the podcast, like a lizard making jingles. In the blizzard, every time the lizard takes a pee, it solidifies. Now he is surrounded by a bunch of frozen wee sticks. Frozen wee sticks, frozen wee sticks. The lizard is surrounded by the wee sticks. Because of his commitment to make jingles in the blizzard, the lizard is imprisoned in a cell made of wee sticks.
So you can understand how a song as powerful of that as that might have captured the public imagination.
That was episode 1 of the...
How many episodes have there been?
Four.
Four. Episode five on this week's podcast.
And so we got this email from Abby Feltham. Is that her name or is she in Feltham, Young Offenders Institution? No. Abby. She says, Dear Ads and Jozza, did you know that super cool mashup DJ Jaguar Skills?
Yeah, I know Jaguar Skills.
Sampled the Wii Sticks in a mix on One Extra last week. He was mixing like a G6 into Nero's Me and You. Both records we know very well. And he added a cheeky little sample of the Adam and Joe show at the end. Good now man. This makes you cool. Congrats. You should go to Ibiza.
He's a mystery guy, isn't he? Like he's a no one knows his true identity.
He is very important in Jaguar the dance
Skills,
world.
Is he?
Let's hear this clip from his mix. It's subtle,
it sticks
but it's
out
there.
A little bit, doesn't it?
I don't think so. You know? I think it fits in perfectly. That's exciting. One Extra.
That's cool.
That was like a little glimpse into the world of One Extra. It's very exciting there, isn't it?
Because young people generally...
They like noises.
They do. They love noises.
Thumping and banging and noises and squealing.
Because people who are aged between around 17 and 25 don't generally listen to this program. Because I think,
oh, that's nonsense.
Is it?
Yeah, that's nonsense. That is nonsense.
That's much more vehement.
No, but that's
response.
Nonsense. No, but the nonsense button's gone off. Seriously, the nonsense button. It's flashing.
Corn balls. That is nonsense. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense.
If you listen to this program and you're age 70 to 25, write to Dr. Buckles right now and tell him
there
what
there might
for.
Be a few
adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
I'm generalising that I think our listeners are either very young and don't know any better. or they're more sort of our age. But
nonsense.
I think...
Nonsense!
But I think the
hop.
Younger...
I want to see Hop. Hop. The funny Easter Bunny.
The funny Easter Bunny is back with the voice of Russell Brand. Would you like to see Arthur starring Russell Brand?
sorry, did I break the desk, James, when I thumped my hands?
One of the mics has gone wonkazoid.
I won't thump the desk anymore. I'm sorry about that.
So listen, that's exciting, isn't it? Are
that
you
is
flattered
exciting.
There that
Very
DJ DJ Jaguar Skills has sampled Wii Sticks?
Yeah, he's like the Chris Morris of the remix world.
Yeah, you can't believe it. Adam, he's put his hands on his head as if he's just trying to take it all
I'm
in.
Showing off my stinky sweat patches.
It's very exciting.
That's great. Thank you very much. Who was that sent that in?
That was sent in by Abby in Feltham Young Offenders Institution.
Thank you very much, Abby.
Or in the place Feltham.
Here's a free play for you, Joe.
Yeah, this is Sam Amadon, who's an American folky type singy man, and this is called Fall on My Knees.
Scratching, 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 scratch, scratch, scratching. I'm a man, I live in a rocket. My name's Herbie and I got a pocket. In the pocket is a little man. The name of the man is Tony. Over to you, Joe MC Corns.
Hello. There we go.
There you go.
Wow, that was a very good Herbie Hancock impression.
It was good, wasn't it? Good rapping as well.
I met him once.
I just made that up. Off the top of my head, I was rapping.
It's
up to... Did you meet Herbie?
I did. He was exactly like that.
Herbals.
Yeah. It was in the foyer of the Barbican.
The foyer.
Yeah, he was playing Headhunters. And I shook his hand.
Did you?
I was very tempted to crush it.
And did he say...
Because he's got the most amazing hands, obviously, because he played the piano.
So you wanted to destroy them.
It was very
them.
Trusting for him to stand there and shake all these people's hands. Because all somebody needed to do was be like Jaws in the James Bond film. And
crush his
bones and then that'll be it.
You've got to be a bit of a nutbag, though, to do that, don't you? Destroy the hand of the man you love.
Hi.
Did he say, oh my God, it's JC.
I can't believe it's Dr. Sexy.
It's J-Corn. Will you please do an impression of me rapping J Corn?
Having microphone problems here.
Sorry, I think
that's
Dr. Buckles
better.
Caused a lot of technical problems after thumping my fists on the
in
desk
fury.
Here.
We've had a lot of emails in from 17 to 25-year-olds.
Oh, really?
Who are furious with you.
Disproving
you. You've alienated a lot of them now.
I didn't say I want them to listen. I was just worried that they may not and that they were too busy listening to... Tommy Freckles. What's his name, the guy on Radio 1 that I was talking about earlier?
DJ Flippy Flip.
Matt Edmondson. There you go, yeah. And DJ Jaguar Skills and that kind of thing.
Made-up jokes?
Yeah, let's have some made-up jokes. Come on, let's have the jingle. Here it is.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
Now, we should alert you to an extraordinary thing that's happened online. Here's an email from PJ in Manchester. Hello, Adam. Hello, Joe. I've had a lot of repetitive work to do recently, and to combat the boredom, I listened back to some older podcasts, including your own. I reached the point where you began including the made-up jokes section into the Chuckle Mix, and after a curious Google, I was unable to find a definitive list of the jokes featured in the show. I've therefore thrown one together at the following address. I can't speak today.
That's okay.
http://. Do I need to do that anymore?
What kind of address is that?
I haven't finished the address yet.
That would be a good
forward slash made up joke party, all one word, .tumblr.com. Tumblr spelled T-U-M-B-L-R, if you're not familiar with Tumblr. That's madeupjokeparty.tumblr.com. Glad to have you chaps back on the wireless. PJ from Manchester. So you should go and check out that site because he has archived, I think. I'm not sure whether he's done it exhaustively, but he's certainly archived a lot of the made-up jokes that have been read out
and
on this program.
And done it beautifully. I mean,
he's the design is immaculate.
I don't know if he's like a special web design professional, but
well,
he's done an amazing job.
It's beautiful to look at and they're very well collated.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, it's the beginning of a resource that the internet sorely lacks. We couldn't find a proper joke database. There are one or two things claiming to be joke databases, but they're not very thorough.
The quality
and they're a
control
bit random.
Is a bit random.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is that it is a bit of a nest of eggs. What's the word I want? A crown of thorns.
Astute.
It's a bit of a worm basket because.
Can of worms.
Yeah, can of worms. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I was after. Nest of eggs. It's a bit of a nest of eggs because he's got, like, for example, the badminton joke on there, which I think everyone agrees now was
a Tim Vine joke.
Yeah. But I don't know if he's credited that to Vine on the actual.
But there needs to be. I mean, this whole problem would be solved by Jokopedia,
right?
By a central database of all jokes that records their history and when they were first. It would be like the Doomsday Book.
Sure it would.
But for jokes.
Yes.
So I think that's the beginning of that, PJ. You might have saddled yourself with a job for life that pays you nothing.
Yeah, good one. Now here we're going to add to... Now here we're going to add to that database now. This is from Marsho. Marsho's from Sydney, Australia, mate.
Mate! I tell you what.
Yes.
It's absolutely lovely there at the moment.
Is it nice?
It's absolutely, not necessarily weather-wise, but just the general feeling.
Just the vibe, mate.
It's absolutely lovely.
Oh, it's so nice. You could get just tanned by the vibe.
I'm going to pop down the what's the main road there called? Oxford Street,
Roadie.
Is it called? Roadie Road.
Yeah, Rodo.
I'm going to have a lovely outdoor brekkie.
Going down Rodo?
I'm going down Rodo.
Ah, oh, so nice there today, mate. I'll see you on Rodo.
Watch out for that roo.
So, Marsho says, so did you hear about those removal men who could stuff hundreds of cooling devices into their low-slung vehicle? They formed a band and called themselves the Fan Low Van Craminals. 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 The Fan Low Van Craminals.
It's a tuneful one. Tuneful one.
You got a tuneful pop.
That was it. Was tough. He had to break the ice. He was the first joke off the.
Sure, it was tough. And he went
the segment.
We went in with quite a a complicated one.
A complicated one. I've got another quite similar one here. I do like ones like these because they're so tortured. You know that they're authored. Dear Adam and Joe, back in the day, my sister and I made up a game where we tried to construct the most contrived, pun-filled sentence possible. I believe that one of our efforts can be turned into a hilarious joke, although many friends and acquaintances disagree. What did the furniture repairman say to the customer who wanted to do the furniture repairs without any assistance? I don't stink stool be table to do it draw shelf. That's good. Come on. You do that again. What did the furniture repairman say to the customer who wanted to do the furniture repairs without any assistance?
Say it like a normal sentence.
Don't stink stool. Hang on. Don't stink stool be table to do it draw self.
I don't stink stool be able.
Did you read it? Is that?
God. That is a tongue twister. Where is it?
I don't.
Oh, yes.
Stool.
I don't stink.
You can't say stink, it's sink.
Stink.
I don't sink stool to be... Oh, it's impossible. Hard. I don't sink stool be table to do it, draw selfie. It's impossible.
It's very good. That's very good. And that comes from Daniel and Laura. If anyone would like to buy this joke for use in Christmas crackers or a stand-up routine, then we're open to offers. Say Daniel and Laura. Thanks, bye.
Here's some pithy ones, which I do believe were authored by the people who say they done them. This is from Bill Booth in Tottenham. And he says, I made two made-up jokes. They caused those near and dear to me to become deeply morose.
Always the sign of a good joke.
But they are self-authored, and I'm proud of them. Number one, why did the Belgian keep mixing up his indefinite articles? Because he was Antwerp.
That's good. I like that.
That's good.
Because he was Antwerp.
He's Antwerp. Antwerp. Number two, which American state is Scooby-Doo from?
Idaho.
That's quite good.
Idaho.
I mean, they've possibly been done before.
Shut up!
I will not.
Shut up!
I maintain that they may have been done before.
Shut up!
This is
shut up!
This is a good
shut
you.
It. Shut it!
This is
shut,
a good
shut,
you way shut, to
shut.
Argue. No,
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 no.
Hop.
Like Ben Kingsley
in
Sexy Beast.
No, shut up! No, no, no!
Oh, that's amazing. An amazing film. That's a good joke. Good jokes. Who are they from?
That's Bill Booth from Tottenham.
Okay. Here's another one. This is from Simon Bennett in Crouch End. And this is more a witty thing he said.
Yeah.
All right. We were in a Spanish restaurant eating tapas, and a friend raised the question, what supermarkets do they have in Spain? I promptly replied, I think they must have Sainsbury's. He did it fast. Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's.
Bang. Straight in there with Sainsbury's.
Bang. Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's. They do, don't they? Sainsbury's.
Oh. That was from Simon Bennett in Crouch End.
James Neat says, and here's a nice pithy one, which I'm not sure maybe has been made before. James Dyson is launching a new range of vacuum cleaners. He's adding to his oeuvre. His oeuvre.
Hey, this would be an opportune time to comment on some of the emails we received after complaining about that hand washer. The Dyson hand washer that somebody said pushed the water up onto your wrists. Mm-hmm. And lots of people emailed in to say that people who found water being pushed onto their wrists were doing it wrongly.
Incorrectly using the blade.
Insert your hand sideways, laterally.
Then pull out.
And then pull out so the water is pushed down towards fingertips.
Yeah. You deserve water on your cuffs if you're misusing
you
the blade. You've
got to look at the instructions.
He's adding to his hoover.
I've got one or two jokes that only work in select company.
Yeah.
I pick them out because you can only say them in crowds that will understand certain things.
Sure.
So these won't play widely.
Right. You've got to be careful where you use them.
Yeah. So here's one, for instance, from John the Entomologist.
Johnny Entomologist.
What does an entomologist do, Adam?
Insects, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Hi, Adam and Joe. This joke only works in certain circles. Question. Why was the sleeping giant blinded when a Sassanid Persian cavalryman charged into his face because he had a cataphract in his eye? The reason. A cataphract was a type of armoured heavy cavalry used in ancient warfare by a number of cultures. I like these ones. Here's another one that can only be used in select company. And this is by Gareth Carroll. You do one. I'll come back to this one.
All right, then. Here's a really nice one, I think. Phil McNamara. He's a male man. He says, and this is just a one-liner. There's a convent full of stupid people, except for one, and she's none the wiser.
None the wiser.
Wordplay. Wordplay. Wordplay.
Okay, I'm going to have a second try at this joke that only works in select company. What did two compound analgesic painkillers do to jointly encrypt the burrowing garden mammal?
Flipping heck.
What did two compound analgesic painkillers do to jointly encrypt the burrowing garden mammal?
Cocodamol.
Did you hear Julian's Cocodamol joke?
It's the funniest analgesic comment that I've heard all month.
He was absolutely the star of the conference.
Certainly. Some people come out with the most tedious analgesic jokes, and that doesn't.
Michael McIntyre should open with that.
Listen, I think that's a new subsection of made-up jokes. What would you call it? I don't know, just incredibly incredibly hard-to-get jokes.
Yeah. Man, we could carry on, but we have to do other things in this programme. We could just do a whole made-up joke show. We've said it before. But please keep them coming in. Sorry if we didn't read yours out. We read them all, though, and very much enjoy them, and you never know, they may end up on that database. Right now, here's Arcade Fire. This is Ready to Start. That was good, wasn't it? Arcade Fire with Ready to Start. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Nice to have you along. And we've pushed right the way through the known barrier. I don't know if you noticed that.
Nice. I think we should get back to Text the Nation right now, but we're going to do so by way of a new jingle, another new jingle that's been sent in. Thank you so much for these. Please keep them coming. And this is a dubstep treatment of the Song Wars theme by Oliver Dentith from Manchester. He presumably would be in trouble if he was a dentist, don't you think, with that surname?
But
have you heard that radio program on BBC Six? Adam Buxton, a funny man, made a comment today about
he's got a wheezy laugh.
Let's hear the jingle.
Email. Is that a problem?
Come on, Jaguar Skills. Stick that in your groove pipe and smoke it.
It's extraordinary business.
Yeah.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
No.
When you're on a dance floor, right? Yeah. Like what we are all the time, because we got clubbing a lot.
Clubbing tonight.
And when you think you know when the beat's going to come in, and you get your body physically ready to really do a big, a big star jump, and then whoever's done the record knows you're thinking that, and they undercut you by tricking you.
Yeah, they put in.
I mean, a lot of contemporary dance music is like that anyway, isn't it? And it sorts out the wheat from the chaff on the dance floor, whether you know when it's going to drop.
Oliver Dentith knows that, and that's why he done that jingle. And so you're a dentist, and what was your surname? Dentith. Dentith.
You'll never get over that.
Hey, what? So the topic for this week's Text the Nation
was but it's fiddles. Little fiddles you enjoy doing that maybe irritate other people, but you can't get by without. I drum my heel. I like to push my lower lip and bite down on it with my top teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But here's... I'm going to clear my throat. Sorry.
Nice. I caught that.
Sorry. Here's one from Matt.
A little bit of puke.
I'm sorry about that, listeners. I do sincerely apologise. I enjoy flicking my Adam's apple with my index and middle fingers. It helps me think. Now, someone I know... Do you do that? Only when you're doing...
Well, I do that sometimes. I do the... car whistle, and this is true.
I wouldn't want to do that. I'd be frightened I might, because in my mental brain, I see the Adam's apple as a sort of ball, a kind of ball bearing, held in a sort of quite feeble tube.
Yes.
And I would worry if I flicked it too hard, it might go... It might pop out,
pop
and
right
I might swallow
through. And it would just roll out through your bottom.
Yeah, and then it would plop into the lavvy later. Mm-hmm. I'd have to pop it back in. Could that happen? Has that happened?
I'm sure it's happened. Yeah.
It should happen in a horror film.
That would be bad, wouldn't it? That'd be bad. Out your Adam's apple.
There's probably some sort of Heimlich manoeuvre you can do to pop it back up. Oh, that's bad.
That's a good one, though. I flick my cheeks sometimes to make
the drop of water. That's more of a trick than a fiddle. Here's one from Louise. I have a pair of earrings that are just the right length and shape to repeatedly flick one up into my ear and shake it out. very satisfying. Mm. So she can flick it up and let it sit in her ear. Mm. Then presumably she waggles her head and lets it drop out.
Might be nice and cool.
What, the metal?
Nice and cool, yeah.
Is it in her ear?
Your ear's too hot. You pop an earring in. Cool earring, isn't it?
Well, here's one from Nell. I like to cross my little toe over the one next to it. Mm-hmm. I do this on both feet with my big toes. My husband hates it, but I feel right, and I will never stop doing it.
Right. My wife does this thing where she balances, I'm just reminded by that, holds her arm in the air and just sort of balances it as if, like...
Weird.
You know, she's just holding it.
Sounds like
it
some
there.
Lady yoga thing she's read in some mag.
I don't know what she's doing, but what in her mind, she is not using
Make
any effort
Make her stop it. Have
to
you
keep
no
the
control?
Arm in the air. You know what I mean? And she's just like, oh, I smack it down.
Yeah, quite
and
rightly.
She does it.
Quite
yeah.
Rightly. Quite right.
What are you doing? Get your arm down. If there's no reason for your arm to be in the air, then stop it, woman. Where's my fish fingers?
That's the way to do it. Here's one from Brow Fiddler in Leeds. Fiddle, I rub my eyebrows the wrong way, so they're all tufty.
Nice idea.
Then I take satisfaction in making them all perfect by smoothing them down again.
Well, something nice.
Do that right now.
The fun thing to do is, like for a joke present at a stag party that I went to the other day with lots of middle-aged men at it, someone had got us all nose hair trimmers and eyebrow trimmers. And so the fun thing I do every now and again is I ruffle up my eyebrows and then I trim the heck out of them with the little eyebrow.
Do you?
Yeah.
You trim your eyebrows?
Every now and again, when I remember, because sometimes they can get well unruly and there's nothing a woman hates less than an unruly brow.
There's nothing a woman loves more than a man with well-groomed eyebrows. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to say, not hates less.
Matt Peace in Stourbridge writes, similar to your lip loop, I pluck the hair that sprouts between my bottom lip with my teeth. Oh, beneath my bottom lip with my teeth.
Yeah.
It hurts, but in a good way.
Mm.
So what's that? It's like biting your, a little bit of beard underneath it. How do you do that?
Get it in your teeth there.
Really? So you have to get the hair between the teeth and then pull it out. That's tricky.
Oh,
but as a beard owner, you're good at it.
Sometimes what I do is when my moustache overhangs... Mm. I'll grab a little bit of that between my teeth and yank one out just to give myself a little painful thrill.
Here's one from Andy. Hi, Adam and Joe. My sister Nikki has a major body fiddle with her ear that she's done since she was a toddler. She's been doing it so long now that she's able to tuck her ears into their own holes and leave them there for about half an hour, happily disturbing all around her.
I used to be very jealous of people at school who could do that. People at school I was jealous of, people who could do that ear thing and then they could flick the lobe and the ear would unfold itself. Mm, boing! And then
it's a great
I was also jealous of the people who could fold their eyelids.
Yeah, that's tricky. You don't want to start messing with that.
No, I mean, it's dangerous.
It's grotesque.
You know, you shouldn't do things like stick cotton buds too far in your ears
No. So listen, those are very brilliant responses to our Text the Nation subject. And don't forget, you can text as well, 64046. We'll return to the subject once more before the end of the show.
Here is Noah and the Whale. This is called Tonight's the Kind of Night.
Tonight's the kind of night.
That's Noah and the Whale. It's Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Don't forget that you can hear our new Song Wars songs on the blog right now. And the address of the blog is bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe. And they are royal wedding themed songs this week. And you can vote for which one is your favourite by emailing adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. The voting will close next Thursday, Friday. Joe's mum.
Dear me, I stood outside in the garden.
Did you?
Because I was convinced the Lancaster bomber and the flypast would fly over my house, because they usually do.
Yeah.
So I ran out when Kate and Wills came on the balcony and stood in the garden in my dressing gown and pyjamas.
Sure.
It didn't.
Oh.
I was furious.
Sorry, mate.
And I missed the big kiss and everything.
I didn't see any of that, unfortunately.
Didn't you?
No.
I tell you what the most amazing thing was.
I'm going to watch it again.
It was the way the police have honed their kettling techniques in a benign way.
Right.
So they did this amazing sort of benign kettling where they controlled the flow of the crowd up the Mall,
yes,
to Buckingham Palace. Did you see that, James? And it was amazingly done. At first, I thought they weren't going to let the crowd get as close to the palace as they usually do, but then the pleats line started advancing forward, mm-hmm. and this massive crowd sort of fanned around and joined and unified, and then went right up to the gates.
Wow!
It was very whoever organised that thing. The television coverage, it was super, super smooth.
Yeah,
the crowd, everything, the crowd handling. I thought it was amazingly organised.
Crowd choreography.
Yeah.
Nice job.
That's my tuppence worth.
And that was the... I loved it. Thank you very much.
It's an opinion programme.
And another edition of Joe Cornish and his tuppence next week. But now it's 12:30 and it's time for the news. That's The Beat with Hands Off, She's Mine. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Nice to be with you. How about some travelling tales?
That's a very good idea.
Travelling tales, tales of travelling on a train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your travelling tales.
All aboard the Skylark!
All right. Now, here's one that was sent in by our kind of in-house illustrator man, James Hood. Has James illustrated every show so far or just the first couple? I don't think I've seen his last couple yet. Well, you can see them on the blog. He's a man that got in touch with the show. He's a talented illustrator, James Hood. And he has very kindly illustrated various aspects of this show, which you can see on our blog. A reminder, that's bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe. Anyway, James gets in touch on the subject of travelling tales. Hi, Adam and Joe. Hope all's well with you. On the subject of nightmare train journeys, I was once on a train sitting next to Richard Herring, friend of Six Music, of course. He was minding his own business, watching Curb Your Enthusiasm and tweeting frantically on his iPhone. A small boy, perhaps 5 years old, was sitting opposite him, eating crisps and swinging his legs, and in so doing, accidentally kicked Richard Herring's knee softly a number of times. This visibly upset Richard Herring, who began to stare the child out. When this didn't work, Richard Herring, the man, checking the mother wasn't looking, kicked the 5-year-old boy back somewhat harder. The boy moved to sit opposite us and spent the rest of the journey kicking my wife.
So in short, Herring kicks child.
Herring kicks 5-year-old child.
Yeah. Child assaulted by television comedian.
Yeah, exactly. And he says also, could you pass my congratulations to Joe for his success with Attack the Block? Looking forward to seeing that next month. Thank you very much, James Hood. Have you got any travelling tales there, Joe?
Yes, I do. Here is one from... I tell you what, I'm going to leave the name until the end of the email.
Okay.
Here is my annoying train story. In fact, that's written in capitals. So... here is my
annoying train story!
There we go. On a journey from Sheffield to London not so long ago, a family of parents, a daughter, and the daughter's boyfriend sat adjacent to me. I have to add, the daughter and boyfriend were at least 30 years old. They started this 2-hour journey with a homemade London quiz, loudly shouting the answers out. Questions such as, where did all the pearly kings and queens originate from? Then they all proceeded to decorate gingerbread men with icing.
What?
Then they got the ticket woman to judge the gingerbread men and declare the winner, which meant more noise. Finally, they unveiled a large spread of all kinds of smelly food, including alcohols. And after eating it all, they proceeded to brush the crumbs in my direction. I have a few qualms with crumbs and food on trains, so this was particularly annoying. I arrived in London, not very happy, had a terrible night out. Love from Emily, a woman.
A woman.
So she has become infuriated by a very infuriating family.
By a jolly family who are making their own entertainment on a train and involving everyone in the fun.
A gingerbread icing competition.
A homemade quiz. Judged by the conductor.
But it's funny, isn't it? Like, one person's good time can be the other person's living hell.
You know, I would say that kind of behaviour is a little tiresome.
Whose side would you be on?
Well, I'd be on the side
Emily's
of the lady.
Emily's or Happy Family?
It depends how happy they are. If they're really, well, you know, they can have their own good times without annoying everyone else, surely, can't they?
Not when Emily's sitting near them.
I guess not. Here's someone who was outraged by the story I was telling last week, or at least my response to the story that someone told about ruining the fun of people who try and reserve seats next to them by piling their bags.
Yes, tactics for trying to get a spare seat, get a bit of space around you.
And this is from Victoria Green, who says, as a longtime fan of the show and a regular almost daily user of trains, I was disappointed to learn that you, Adam Buxton, are among the many who believe your bag deserves a separate seat all by itself. You say that people can always ask you if they want to sit down, but my feeling is they shouldn't have to. What if someone is a tiny bit shy, has a bad throat, or doesn't speak the language? I got on a train yesterday, and when somebody quite rightly asked the man opposite me if he could take the seat that was currently occupied by the man's bag, said man begrudgingly picked it up, saying, "If you have to." I wanted to punch him, but contented myself with giving him evil looks, which of course he didn't notice. You must stop this selfish practice now! I was going to email you initially about something else, but once inflamed with anger about your train etiquette, or lack thereof, I forgot what. Yours, hopefully, Victoria Green.
I'm confused. What's the gist of that?
So she is basically saying that it's not good enough for me to, say that I'm going to take my bags away if anyone else comes and wants to use them. She's just outraged by anyone being selfish enough to do the bag
piling.
Here's
the key. What? How small is your smallest child?
Two.
Two. What's the middle? How old is Natty?
Six.
Six. Okay. And you've got quite a big rucksack, haven't you?
I've got a collection of small.
Pop Natty in the rucksack.
Yes.
Make some little leg holes and armholes. Mm-hmm. And when anyone complains, that's Natty's cue to stick his limbs out the holes, and his head would pop up,
like
and
a little,
he'd shout something aggressive.
A turtle.
So you, it's an immediate switcheroo. The person thinks it's a bag. It's not a bag. It's a person.
It's a little baby.
And they're sussed.
It's a little guy.
It's a little guy. A little chap. A happy chappy.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
That's a brilliant idea.
Come to the Cornwalls with your problems.
Thanks, Cornwalls. I mean, I'd probably do it with my 2-year-old.
That's why I'm a
she's
doctor.
Easier to carry.
Yeah, good idea.
Pop her in the
pen. Well, you've got a different kid for each sized bag.
Sure.
Depending on your travel props.
Thanks, Cornwalls.
Here's a... You didn't sound very enthusiastic. It sounded like you're just trying to make me feel happy. Hi, Adam and Joe. I don't know if you're planning on dragging out the train game item. Yes, we are. But if you are, here is my game. Oh, this is the wrong one. I wasn't going to read this one out. I'm backpedaling. Sorry, Amy.
Hey, can we have that weird noise that someone sent in? This is from Sam Goddard, who says, a few months ago, I was travelling from London Bridge back to my home in Tadworth. Half dazed after a long day at work, I heard this voice. I don't know if I was listening to a hypnosis tape or the calm voice of a Hannibal-type character. To this day, I can't work out if the voice was the driver or some amazing computer voice. I've played this sound clip to many people and opinion is split. What do you think, listeners?
Gentlemen, very good evening. John Barcourt, this is your 1821 Southern service to Tatton Corner. The service now calls at Reedham, Smetham, Woodenstone, Chipstead, Kingswood, Tatworth and Tatton Corner.
That is a good voice.
Tatworth and Tatton Corner. It sounds like he's got a pinched nose and he's peculiarly elongating certain words.
It's too eccentric to be a computer,
no,
isn't
it? It's not a computer, that's a real guy.
No, I think it's a computer what has gone wrong.
You reckon?
Yeah.
A posh computer that has gone wrong.
Sure.
But if
not.
You were a real guard and you didn't want any hassle from the passengers, that would be the way to play it.
That's right.
Stay in your box and talk like a robot whenever you have to talk through the talking thing.
Welcome aboard the 855 service to Tadworth.
Hope you're enjoying. Don't forget that a full buffet service is available in the buffet carriage.
I think you'll find that more and more in public life as lazy workers try and get off things.
Yeah.
Pretending to be robots.
People pretending to be robots.
Like if you were a genuine human living phone answerer in some call centre, you could just pretend to be a robot. Then you wouldn't have to interact with anybody.
Yeah.
Wicked idea.
That is a wicked idea. Just pretend
to
be a robot.
In fact, we could do it on this programme. Hello, welcome to Adam and Joe on Six Music.
Have you ever pretended to be a robot on the phone? Because, you know, sometimes you'll get through to someone's answering machine and their message will be so conversational that you're actually fooled. You know, the message will be something like, "Hi, thanks for calling. How you doing?" You know, they'll leave gaps
and
stuff.
And you think the person's a robot.
Yeah. Hello. Hi.
Not sure that's happened to me. You know what I do like to do is if I call up an automated answering machine, I like to talk to them in a highly obscene way and get quite sweary and aggressive. Because, of course, they can't respond. They're robots.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to let off steam.
Sure.
So when I select my films, I do it in a very, very racy fashion.
Peppered with foul language. And if it's being recorded for quality control purposes, so much the better.
Here's a free play for you right now, listeners. And this popped up accidentally on my MP3 player the other day, but I enjoyed the heck out of it. It is from April 1992, track sampled from a reggae number from Jar Screechy entitled Walk and Skank, which itself was based on Slim Smith's Never Let Go. Joe, who am I talking about?
I have no idea. I wasn't listening.
I'm talking about, of course, SL2. This is on a ragga tip.
Ah, 1992.
I like it. It's good. A good great times. Period for music.
Sure.
And one of the greatest records from that period.
Hey, James, shall we have the classic Text the Nation jingle to get us into a final bit of Text the Nation right now? Hang on a second. What's that?
This is someone sent in a design. Earlier in the programme, Count Buckley's was fretting over what outfit he should wear to a premiere he's going to next week. And someone has sent in rather a beautiful drawing of him. The premiere is for the film Attack the Block. So this person suggested that Adam might go in a big cardboard block costume, which is quite good.
And I'm holding a sign that says, "When are we filming my scenes?" That's a little bit of a painful reminder.
Hey, you are in it.
Well, I'm in. What am I in? Like the telly in the background? I'm the voice
that
of the nature doc?
That came from Toby Smith.
Yeah,
it's a very prominent, important, pivotal moment.
Okay. Thanks for that, Toby Smith. Yeah, let's have the Text the Nation, James.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So the Text the Nation subject this week, listeners, is all about body fiddles, sort of irritating little habitual things, not irritating to you, but irritating to other people that you do to pass the time when you're thinking or and you don't quite sort of realise you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Here is one from Duncan, who is aged between 17 and 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my face.
He says, re-body fiddles, I sometimes like to grab my cheek and gradually pull it while keeping my lips closed. Eventually, a sort of vacuum effect is created and a short burst of air rushes in. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Don't even want to make that noise a lot. Let's move on. Here is one from Lou on way to Liverpool from Bath for a wedding, listening on Car DAB. When I'm thinking or getting excited, I rub my palms briskly together, keeping my hands very straight. So people say I look like a smiling, insane miser. That you generate quite a lot of heat when you do that. That can be dangerous. The hands can combust. That's how spontaneous human combustion starts.
Is it?
No.
No, by people rubbing their hands together.
Dear Adam and Joe, this is from Liv Coombs, a woman, in Portishead. Dear Adam and Joe, whenever I'm bored, I get my finger and put it in my mouth, in the cheek area, and make a pop sound. It's very satisfying.
Sure.
Obviously, it's very annoying, and is followed by glares from my fellow classmates. I do love the noise, though, says Liv Coombs. Is she just talking about that?
Yeah.
Just a basic
doing
pop.
The pop.
That's quite annoying.
That's what
fiddle.
You get.
Okay, here is a tricky one, and I want you to try and do this one as I read it out, please,
okay.
Count Buckley's, because I don't really know what she's describing. Hey, Adam and Joe. Oh, he is describing. I lift all the fingers up, apart from my middle finger, which I try and fold it into my hand.
Is this from one of our 17 to 25-year-olds?
19. He's called Ollie. He's a male. He's 19. Okay, I'm going to read this verbatim. I lift all the fingers up apart from my middle finger, which I try and fold it into my hand. This somehow makes you lose control of it and it become limp. I then use my other hand to flick it, the tip of it, and watch it jiggle. My girlfriend makes me do it when she is bored, but both of us get great satisfaction from it. I include a crude diagram I did on Paint very quickly to demonstrate the hand position. Boy, oh boy, didn't make any sense. Oh, there we go. You're doing it. That's quite good, isn't it?
It's not like the most fun thing ever.
Well, they love it. Ollie and his girlfriend love it.
What are you doing on Tuesday? Should we do the thing with the finger? Yay!
Here's one from Jim. I like to let my lips stick together, then inflate my mouth slowly with lung air. It's fun to see how inflated my mouth gets before my lips split. Also, on initial lip split, I like to stick my tongue through and wiggle it a bit.
Initial lip split.
Yeah.
So he's turning himself into a sort of a Dizzy Gillespie type big cheek guy. Here's one from Robert in Bermondsey, which I can relate to. I have a peculiar habit of forming an extreme pout so that my top lip has made contact with the tip of my nose, reminiscent of a chimpanzee. I will then inhale deeply with satisfaction before relaxing my contorted face. I probably do this around 20 to 30 times a day.
My God. You can do that. I can't do that.
Can you not get your lip?
I can't get my lip up there, no.
Is that as good as you can do, seriously?
Yeah, can't get it up
it's
there.
It's not anywhere near his nose.
No, nowhere near it.
It just looks like a sneer. He's doing
I'm too Johnny handsome.
Rotten.
I'm too handsome. Only the
I can more or less seal my nostrils with my top lip.
Mm.
I mean, I've got a kind of big set of nostrils as well.
Can't
big
do
monkey,
it.
Monkey nose. I like it. And then it's fun to smell your top lip as well sometimes.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, yeah. If you've been, especially with a moustache, you know, if you've got any breakfast morsels left over, any sort of honey or stuff, it's nice.
Nice. So listen, if you want to contribute to that Text the Nation, because the show's about to finish now, don't forget Retro Text the Nation in next week's show. You can email during the week if you're listening again or listening to the podcast, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. That's it. That's it.
Here are the grizzly bears. And this is 2 weeks. Grizzly Bear with 2 weeks. Well, this is pretty much goodbye now, listeners, for our show this week. But before we go, don't forget to download that podcast. It's going to be available after 6 p.m. this evening. If you've never heard it before, I think you'll enjoy it. It's all the most, all the least rubbish bits compiled into.
Yeah. And the podcast will include, of course, both Song Wars songs, but you can also hear both Song Wars songs on the blog. They'll be up there in a few hours, I think. They're up there now, for your listening and analytical pleasure. And then don't forget to vote via email, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk, and just put either Adam's name or my name in your subject heading. You can put the thinking behind your vote in the body of the email if you want, but it's great to have your vote in the subject heading. That'll be really good.
Don't forget that you can contribute to this week's Text the Nation right the way through the week. If you're listening to this program on Listen Again, you can get involved right now and email us, not text, but email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk with that or anything else you'd like to tell us from your week. Until we're together again next Saturday, we very much hope you enjoy yourselves. Be kind to each other. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Bye.